Hi everyone, I'm Elizabeth Stein, founder and CEO of Purely Elizabeth, and this is Live Purely with Elizabeth, featuring candid conversations about how to thrive on your wellness journey. This week's guest is Frances Largeman Roth, a registered dietitian, a New York Times bestselling author, and nationally recognized nutrition and wellness expert. Frances is the author of Feed the Belly, Eating in Color, and Everyday Snack Tray, which was just released. She is a contributor to several publications, including Today.com and Shaped, and she has appeared on numerous national TV shows, including The Today Show, Dr. Oz, Good Morning America, and CNN. In this episode, we talk about Frances's philosophy of positive nutrition, emphasizing balance and flexibility rather than strict dietary restrictions. She shares about her new book, Everyday Snack Tray, and the importance of creativity and exposing kids to a variety of foods. We talk about some of the challenges when it comes to eating healthy, along with tips to overcome them, the importance of maintaining a balanced diet and lifestyle, including finding joy in daily routines, and some of her food predictions for 2024. Keep listening to learn more. I have some super exciting news, Purely fans. I am so thrilled to announce that our newest product line of cookie granola is finally here. We've created a one-of-a-kind recipe where a delicious cookie meets our wholesome granola. It's made with organic gluten-free oats and coconut flour, 100% whole grains, baked with coconut oil and almond butter, and only 6 grams of sugar. These snackable granola clusters have all of the flavor and crispness of your favorite cookie recipe, but in an indulgence you can feel good about. It comes in 3 flavors to obsess over: chocolate chip, double chocolate, and my personal favorite, oatmeal raisin. Find our cookie granolas at Walmart, Whole Foods, Publix, and on our website at purelyelizabeth.com. To find a store near you, use the link below in the show notes. I hope you're as obsessed with this new product as I am. Enjoy! Frances, welcome to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to finally connect with you and hear all about your background and story.
Oh, Elizabeth, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I have known you and all of your products since you launched back in 2009. So, and have written about them many, many times. So it's a joy to be here today and connect with you.
Wonderful. So let's start with what really interested you in getting into nutrition and wellness, and have you always been in this field?
Yes and no. So I was actually going to go to vet school. I did a full 4 years undergrad in animal science. And from, you know, the age of 5 as a little girl, I was so passionate about animals and care of them. But, you know, life teaches you things and sends you down certain paths. And my father died of a heart attack when I was 12. Oh, wow. And that sort of sat in the back of my mind, you know, as I was learning about science and getting my undergrad. I started getting really fascinated with the animal nutrition classes that I was taking. And I kind of realized, I was like, yeah, that would be amazing to be an animal nutritionist, but there are probably 5 jobs in the world, maybe 10 jobs.
That would be a cool job.
It would be so cool, you know, at the zoos. And so I realized, you know what, people are starting to get more interested in nutrition and how what goes into their body affects them, affects the way they feel, their long-term health, performance, all that stuff. And so I switched gears and changed my undergrad, stayed an extra year, and then went on to do my dietetic internship. So, but I will say that in high school, I worked at a health food store. So,
and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Western New York, south of Buffalo, in a small town called Salamanca, which is actually on a Native American reservation. So, very interesting place to grow up. But that is what led me to do what I do, But I also knew I wanted to write. I was always really interested in writing. And I have been very, very lucky to be able to bring those two worlds together.
Yeah. And so when you first graduated and years after that, starting your career, what did that look like as far as working with clients versus how did you get into writing and really that side of your work today?
Yeah, well, I was working in a clinic in San Francisco, and this was about 1998, and the AIDS epidemic was still rearing its ugly head, and I was at a clinic where we specifically addressed that patient population. So it was my very, very first job as a dietitian, and it was very intense because our patients had so many different health issues going on all at once. But it was also wonderful because it was a holistic health practice. Oh, wow. And so we had MDs on staff. We had a massage therapist, an acupuncturist, a Watsu therapist, and a psychiatrist, and me. So people were getting, our patients were getting a really great treatment plan that was very balanced. And it was a very cool place to work. And my only writing there were the patient handouts that I created for my patients. So breakdowns on how to choose an energy bar and, you know, how much protein you need and fiber and stuff like that. But I try, because of my patient population, I, you know, created them with a little humor in mind as well. So when I did apply to writing jobs, I said, you know, I don't have any clips. That's what you're supposed to send. You're supposed to send your writing clips, or these days it would be your links. But I had these patient handouts. And so that's what I sent. And amazingly, Discovery Health, who they were just launching at the time, hired me as a writer. So, you know, they always say to be very prepared when you apply to jobs, but sometimes you have to just dive in and have a little bit of hope.
Absolutely. So as you think about the work that you do today, how do you describe what your nutrition philosophy is? Because there's certainly so many different ways that there's a million different dietary theories.
Oh, you're right. Yes, absolutely. I describe it as positive nutrition for your whole life, meaning from pre-pregnancy on through menopause. You know, I do focus on women's health, and it's a journey. And I would say that women in their 20s are very confused and have always been bombarded by different diets, fad diets, trends, pressures from the media, et cetera. And that has not changed. It's only gotten worse with social media. So certainly, you know, for me, it was fat free. That was what I glommed onto.
Snackwells.
Oh, and a million bagels a day, but,
right?
You know, no fat. So, balance is another word that I use a lot. Finding that balance between how do we take care of ourselves every day, but how do we also enjoy life? You know, how do you travel and feel good about yourself and still be able to, you know, go out and enjoy the things that you want to fully enjoy life? You know, without having to cut out whole food groups unless you need to for a dietary reason. Also to find movement that you enjoy, that gives you energy, doesn't make you feel, you know, more exhausted at the end of the day. And I think every decade, even maybe every 5 years, that changes a little bit. And what we need to do to take care of ourselves has to get tweaked a little bit because our bodies change. Our hormone levels change, our lifestyle changes. So I think it's good to have an open mind.
Yeah, I love that philosophy. I'm definitely all about, I call it the 80-20 rule, but I don't know that it's really 80-20. It's really just having that balance and feeling like you can indulge guilt-free when you want to, when you're doing something and eating great the rest of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I think that's what I try to get across in the work that I do and also in my new book, Everyday Snack Tray.
Yeah. So congratulations on the new book. Tell us about the inspiration behind it.
Thank you. So the inspiration, here's the book. I don't know if we sent you one, Elizabeth, but
yes,
if we did,
I love it. Cool. It's on my coffee table, actually.
Fantastic. Thank you. So when my kids were little, they just, as with most young kids, they just didn't eat a lot of anything. So you'd put out the food, tiny little bits were eaten, and then I was left with all these leftovers, veggies and protein and pasta, whatnot. And so I would save it in little containers. And what I realized was that if I put the food out in little ramekins, my kids were more likely to eat it, to try new things even, than if I plated their food. And so that sort of morphed into making snack trays and sort of purposefully doing things that way in little ramekins or on little plates and bite-sized pieces of food. And then my kids started asking me, hey, you know, my friends are coming over. Can you make a snack tray? Or mom, I'd really like a snack tray for my birthday. And I started getting sort of more playful with it, doing themes. And lo and behold, it turned into a book idea. But I think at the same time, the whole charcuterie tray trend really took off. And so people just got more interested in serving things this way. And also millennials and Gen Z, they are not that interested in doing a full course meal. They don't have time, they don't have the interest, and maybe not even the knowledge to put together an elaborate meal, let's say. And so I think this sort of way of eating is kind of just, it's like, it's more carefree, it's less work. It's more creative. It really plays into visuals, which, you know, we know that the younger generations are really interested in, and it's a creative outlet for me.
So how do you think about what goes onto those boards and those combinations from a nutrition standpoint?
From a nutrition standpoint, there's always going to be a fruit. There's always going to be a vegetable. Although maybe on the Barbie snack tray that I made, there was definitely watermelon for the pink. I don't think that there was a vegetable, but certainly I try to bring balance into it and seasonality. And, you know, some trays are truly meant to be just snacks, you know, something to eat when you're watching your movie or something to eat maybe before the main entree comes out. But some of them are truly meant to be a meal, you know, so you can do a taco tray, you can do a chili tray for the winter. That's really fun. Or just go to, I'm so excited. It's almost spring and the farmer's market is finally going to be back up and running here. And that's where I find so much inspiration in terms of recipe development. But you can just go to the farmer's market and pick up really nice cheese and a really great baguette and all the seasonal produce.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Right? And arrange it on a board with some really good olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and maybe a rosé if that's your thing. And that can be a meal. So I'm really just showing people different ways to get together and celebrate, yes, with the people who live in your home, but also as a way to get people, because we know people are not hanging out as much since the pandemic. And it hasn't even really picked back up again. I don't know what the statistic is, but we're just not socializing as much anymore. And so to me, a barrier was, oh my gosh, I have to clean the house, put all the toys away, then cook, then, like, you know, set the table and do all these things. So if I can think of this more as like, hey, I'm just walking out with some nice food on a tray and enjoying it with people, then that barrier becomes much less and I'm more likely to invite people over.
I love that. It's all about making it fun and easy. And those are certainly great inspiration, whether you're trying to eat healthier or in the case of your kids, where you're trying to introduce them to eat foods that they're not normally eating and getting them to encourage that trial. As you mentioned that the genesis was with your kids, what are some other ways that you can suggest in encouraging healthy eating for kids?
Yeah, well, I think for too long, diet culture has really been trickling down to kids. And parents, unfortunately, it's a lot of the moms doing it, but I'm sure that the dads and the grandmas and the aunties have all been guilty of it as well. Categorizing foods as good and bad, because what we're finding now is we just have generations of people who feel badly about eating and are almost like frozen in their decision making because they've heard for years that carbs are bad or fat is bad or whatever it is. Something tasty is bad, right? Which we don't want. So I feel like snack trays are a way to equalize food and take that stigma of, oh, I'm putting the bad stuff, the naughty stuff over here, and the good stuff is over here. It's just all on the tray. And I think that that sometimes is a concept that people go, really? Really? Like I can put a cheese puff on a tray at the same time as I can put carrots on a tray? Absolutely. Yes, you can. And the more that kids are exposed to foods that they're unfamiliar with or that they think that they don't like, the more likely they are to try it eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. You know, it can take 20 exposures for a child to even try a food. And then that doesn't even mean that they're going to like it. They're just exposed to it and they're going to try it. So for me, it's all about, here are all your options.
Not putting anything on the no list.
Exactly. Unless somebody has an allergy. And obviously that's something that we need to be aware of. But also you can give control to your kid, whether your kid is like 3 or 13, and you can say, well, what do you want to pick? Let's go to the store and you pick something out, or let's pick a blue food, or let's pick a purple food, or using different techniques like that to get them more interested in the food that they're eating. Because kids can be very, very, very picky. And also grown-ups can be very, very picky. So for me, it's all about variety. We also know that for the gut microbiome, variety is best. You know, if you're only eating a select, 10 foods, that's not going to be great for the diversity of your gut. So, there's so many reasons to be open to trying new foods.
Yeah, that's such a great point. So as you think about, we're sitting here in March, it is National Nutrition Month.
Yes.
And at the same time, we are a country that is very not well. We have 12%, I think, is the latest statistic of the population that is metabolically healthy, with the rest of us not. And so as you first mentioned, there's so much conflicting information and confusion. Like, where have we gone wrong and how do we navigate all of the noise to figure out and make informed decisions about our diets?
There's a lot of noise. Absolutely. I think, unfortunately, there's so much misinformation on social media, and that is so hard for a consumer to sift through. I mean, I really can't imagine getting bombarded with these different concepts and truly not knowing what is right and what is wrong. So, or what is, made up. So I think, if you really have serious questions and maybe some different health issues going on, do see a registered dietitian. You can find us. We are out there. If you go to eatright.org, you can find a laundry list of us all across the country, but see a professional, because just because you're a social media darling does not make you a nutrition expert. And also reading labels. We know that this is really, really important. It's a great skill to have, to understand. It's not just the nutrition facts panel, but it's also the ingredient list. We know that the ingredient list is important. It sort of depends on what product it is that you're looking for, but certainly we don't want a product that starts with sugar as the first ingredient. Depending on what it is, maybe we want a whole grain as the first ingredient. So there's a lot that a consumer can do to get informed. Also, when you're looking for information, go to the source material. I know that sometimes these things take a little more time than we'd like. But if something seems outrageous, it probably is. If you see videos of somebody walking down a grocery aisle telling you that absolutely every packaged food is terrible, that's a red flag, because we know that not all packaged foods are bad, right? And they provide a certain amount of convenience in our day. I know that I topped my morning smoothie with your new cookie granola this morning, and it came out of a package in it, and there's nothing wrong with that. So it's about ingredients. It's about understanding. It's also understanding what makes you feel good, because it's all so personalized, right?
Yeah. There's no one size fits all diet for everyone. That's for sure. So in your experience, as we think about the health issues that we have in our country, where do you see some of the biggest challenges that people face when trying to make healthier food choices? Because certainly we might know, but yet we're still not necessarily taking those actions to eat healthier.
Yeah, I think it comes down for many people to time and cost. And right now, cost is just a big stressor for people. We know that grocery costs went sky high. And even though they are starting to come down a little bit, they're still inflated. And so people are choosing to shop at more budget-friendly stores like Aldi and Trader Joe's. And so that's why you see a lot of people like me providing guidance for how to shop well at stores like that.
I'm so excited to announce that we have launched two new superfood cereal flavors, chocolate almond and cinnamon raisin almond. Our cereal is intentionally crafted with whole food ingredients you can see and taste, like sorghum, oats, chia, and quinoa. Each spoonful of our superfood cereal combines crunchy ancient grain flakes with delicious granola clusters for irresistible taste and texture. Plus, they are an excellent source of vitamin D, a good source of fiber, and have over 30 grams of whole grains per serving. You can find these new flavors, along with our existing flavors, honey peanut butter and vanilla blueberry almond, at your local Whole Foods, and as always, on purelyelizabeth.com.
So give us your tips for shopping well at Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just there. So, I mean, certainly you're gonna shop it like you do, or similar to how you shop at a regular grocery store. I go to the produce section first, and I look at their bagged salads, because that's something that's quick and easy to make. I get their chopped kale, which I just threw into a salad last night.
They have such good produce there. Like all of that prepped salad and...
Yeah, it's great. They have the shredded Brussels sprouts at this time of year. So they do have a lot of things that are made convenient. They have jicama that's already sliced up or diced up, something, one of the two. So I look for those types of things. And of course, you know, bags of mandarins, bananas, they have great apples. And their berry section is always much, 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 much cheaper. They do have organic as well as conventional in their berry section. So lots of great picks in their produce aisle. And they also have great options, you know, for dairy too, if you're a dairy person. You know, then I do go through the frozen aisle, because I have three kids and two of them are teens who are cooking their own food sometimes. And they have a beautiful tricolor cauliflower that's just cut up cauliflower, and you can roast it, you can stir fry it, you can microwave it, however you want to make it. And it's beautiful. It's purple and green and white cauliflower. So, you know, you do have to look through. Some of the options do have higher sodium. So if that's a concern for you, you do want to, of course, look and see how much sodium the item has per serving. But they have bags of chia. They have great rolled oats. They have lots of great basic ingredients that are so much cheaper than going to another natural food store that I love, but that just generally has higher prices unless you're buying the store brand.
Yeah, great. So for someone who is on this health journey, there's certainly, again, overwhelming amount of information for things that you can
do for optimal health to live a healthier lifestyle, what would you say would be sort of your top three tips for someone looking to improve their diet and lifestyle?
None of us are getting enough fruits and vegetables. Okay, maybe 10% of us.
How much should we really be getting?
5-7 servings a day, which if you saw it in front of you, would not be that overwhelming. It's just that it's a cost thing and a time thing. Again, it's those two barriers. So having it at the ready, you know, whether you're taking a little bit of time on Sunday afternoon to wash berries and put them in containers, or, you know, cut up some celery sticks or whatever it is that you like. I never try to force, you know, if you tell me, I'm never going to eat kale. I hate kale. I'm not going to try to convince you, Elizabeth, that you should love it. And of course, again, like, hey, maybe it's time to try something new. Maybe you didn't think you loved asparagus, but asparagus is coming into season. So let's try it again. Maybe we should try it grilled, and maybe you'll, you know, like it more this time. But a little bit of effort in prep, you do not have to meal prep for the whole week. I think that that is not a realistic thing to do.
Yeah.
But a little bit of stuff. I love doing overnight oats. You know, that's just a quick and easy thing to grab. But we're talking about produce. So a little bit of prep with that. Also just having it around, having the apples in bowls ready to go, or the grapes already washed, ready to go. So think about it in terms of color. Adding more color to your day throughout the day is great.
A great tip that someone also shared while you're talking about that is, you know, we're so used to putting all that produce perhaps in your fridge. It's in the bottom. You don't even see it in that drawer. And what you're usually drawn to eating is what you see. So Sometimes putting it, you see all these beautiful Instagram fridges, and while they just look aesthetically pleasing and beautiful, there is a purpose, I think, too, because you're seeing the fruits, you're seeing the vegetables, and that's drawing you to eat the better for you produce instead of maybe going after a chip instead.
Absolutely. Yes. Keep it where you can see it. And I love using glass containers for that reason, because then you can see it, you don't forget about it, it's not hidden in the drawer. So I love that. That's a great point. And then finding some kind of movement that works for you, that fits into your day. It doesn't have to be at the gym. Absolutely. I haven't belonged to a gym in years. I have a Peloton bike. I use the app all the time. It's in these great little, you know, bite-sized time periods. So, you know, 20 minutes of strength and 5 minutes of abs, if that's what I can fit in today, that's great, you know, but finding something that you are going to want to do on most days. And as we get older, our bodies just actually need to move more to feel good. So carving that out, also including time to stretch, because
I'm so bad at that.
If you don't stretch, like, it's, you're going to hurt. The muscles are going to get tight. They're going to get shorter. And you're also more prone to injury. So kind of baking in that time for stretching, I think, is hugely important. And then the third tip would be fun. The world is so heavy right now, I think, with the election, with different wars going on, the economy, lots of things to stress about. Find something that makes you feel great, whether that is a hobby that you're doing, it's some kind of craft that you're doing with your hands. Maybe it is, you know, watching a funny show with the people you love. Maybe it's journaling, something that lights you up, that really helps to lower your stress, because you can check all the boxes. You can eat the kale and the chia and everything and still not be in a great place because your stress level is too high. And we know that that creates inflammation in the body, and inflammation is at the root of all disease. So I think we all need to find that thing that brings us joy, that makes us smile, and makes life a little less serious.
I love that. What's bringing you joy right now?
Watching young Sheldon with my 9-year-old. And I never thought that I would enjoy this show, because it's the precursor to Big Bang Theory, yeah, which I never really watched. But it's such a good show, and it's so lighthearted, and it's only 20 minutes long. So
perfect.
Each episode is really, yeah, it's like a little, you know, a little treat before bed.
Love that. So we talked about getting in more produce. I'm curious to hear from you if you had, again, if you don't like kale, don't eat kale. But from a pure nutrition standpoint, what would your top five power foods be?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love eggs. Eggs are, for anybody who's not vegan, they really are just such a great go-to protein source in terms of, you know, providing all essential amino acids, also choline for your brain. And there aren't that many foods that are rich in choline. So eggs, and then salmon, wild salmon, omega-3, again, is just critical. Critical for your brain, for your eyes, for your heart. And, you know, it's not February anymore, but we did just have Heart Month, and heart disease remains the number one killer for men and women in this country. So I have to talk about what we can do to protect our hearts. Berries of all the berries. I would say blueberries tend to top my list because they are just so rich in anthocyanins, and again, really great for your brain. As we age, brain health becomes more top of mind, and there's such great research on blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, and in terms of what they can do for our brain health and memory and just cognition. So I have two more, don't I? Nuts. I am a fan of peanut butter. I'm also a fan of walnuts and pistachios. Really, all the nuts are great for us. And again, I think variety is important there. I would never tell somebody, I mean, almond butter is great. It's super healthy, but I would never say only almond
butter.
Which
is why Nutso is such a good product. If you've had that nut butter,
yes,
multi nut and seeds.
Yes, it's really good. You just have to stir it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a great, great product. Another women-owned company.
Yes, she's a good friend of mine, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the last one, I think I'm going to say extra virgin olive oil, because it is so great for fighting inflammation, but it's also one of those things that is so delicious too. So I love finding those things that are so great for me, but also are amazingly delicious. And so it's not a heavy lift to incorporate them into my diet.
Love that. And love the idea of putting that on one of your boards with the cheese and the baguette.
Yes. Yes. It's almost picnic season, Elizabeth. So
I'm ready. So as we're getting into the year, we're still kind of at the beginning of the year. What trends are you seeing for 2024?
Okay. So I do write a piece for today.com every year on the trends that I'm seeing. And so I talked about how caffeine-free is the new sober. So I think people are realizing that that afternoon cup is just destroying their sleep.
Yeah.
And doing things that are negative for them. So maybe people aren't entirely giving up caffeine. I'm not advocating for that, because actually coffee has some real benefits, but they are evaluating, just like people started looking at how much they were drinking, especially after the pandemic. So I think maybe you only need that cup in the morning or two cups in the morning, and then you're having something that's decaf in the afternoon. So that's a huge one. I think we're going to see more people really looking at that, their caffeine consumption. Also mushrooms, but not just mushrooms in the way that we've been thinking about them. And I know that you have used mushrooms in your products, but also the mushroom root, because that can be used in different ways. That can be used as a jerky with a really very, very meaty texture to it, and different protein sources, beyond the pea protein that we've been seeing the last couple of years, but different plants that contain protein and then using those in products.
Like what?
It's called Ruby. And it's actually grown in water. And so it's great for the environment because it's not, it's also a carbon sink. So it's actually also improving the environment as it's growing.
So is it like an algae?
It's kind of like an algae. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's like a tiny, tiny little green plant.
Sounds like some purely innovation projects coming.
Yeah. I think also just the environment itself is a main trend driver. And I think that so many of us are super concerned about the environment. So when we're looking at products, of course, we want it to taste great. Of course, we want it to be good for us. But we also want to know, what is this product doing for the planet? Does it have a positive impact or a negative impact? And because people want to feel good about the food products that they're buying. I think, you know, we'll continue to see adaptogens. As long as we have people who are stressed out, we're going to continue to see.
They're here to stay.
They are here to stay, absolutely. And, you know, I think also people finding that balance, you know, maybe they tried being vegan for a while and they determined it was not quite right for them, but they want to keep the principles of you know, eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more whole grains, but then maybe bringing back a little bit of meat and fish and poultry into their diet to just feel better and make sure that they're getting enough iron and protein. I know for a lot of women, that's a big struggle to feel great on a vegan diet. So I think just kind of fine tuning is a trend as well.
Those are great. Thank you. So as you talk about finding balance and fine tuning, I'd love to hear a little bit about your typical day and how you find balance, juggle everything. Do you have any rituals in your morning? What does your day of success look like?
Yes. So I have become, I think, even more ritualized now that I live in the burbs, because I can't just run out to a coffee shop. So I have coffee first thing with collagen, but I don't have the whole coffee. I honestly just take like 3 sips. And then I'm either on the Peloton bike or I am doing a strength workout. I love Callie Gullickson. I don't know what I'm going to do when she goes out on maternity leave. I guess I'll do.
Have you gone to a Peloton live class?
No, but I want to.
I just went 2 months ago when I was in New York. You must go. It was incredible.
Which one did you do?
I did Alex's bike ride. And it was just way beyond my expectations. It was incredible.
Yeah, no, it's on my bucket list. It is absolutely on my bucket list. So maybe the next time you come to town, I'll try to tag along with you. And so this is all before the kids are even up. So get my workout in. As it gets nicer, I'll try to start running more, because I really think it's great to get outside and move. Because also you're getting the vitamin D benefit, which is so important for immunity and mood and everything. And then 7 o'clock, wake everybody up, get everybody out the door, make breakfast. And usually my breakfast is after everybody is sort of out the door. And that's when I think it's important to kind of sit down and take that 10 to 15 minutes. Again, if I can have my breakfast outside, I do that, because it just feels good. It's like taking that mini treat. And then it's writing, recipe development. Obviously there's all the email that comes with being your own business owner, as you know, and also doing a little bit of plugging for the book every day. So carving that up into sort of, I look at things in like 15 minute increments, because I I like to be efficient. And so even when there's only 15 minutes, there's 15 minutes to do something, you know?
Yeah. It's like you're carving up your 15 minute little blocks, like your trays, like little bits of time in.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I'm always pitching my editors at today.com. So maybe I'll use that 15 minutes to put a pitch together or create a list of reels that I'm going to make this month because I have to keep making the content. Yeah, but I think also it's important, again, to get that little bit of fun in there. So I'm in a book club. And right now we're reading Day by Michael Cunningham, which is his latest book. And so I'll carve out, you know, maybe 20 minutes in the late afternoon to do some reading. And I find that that's very, very calming. It's kind of a nice thing to do for yourself. Sometimes I will use that reading time in the bath, which is a really fun thing to do.
Yeah.
A bath during the day when other people are working is a very, very nice little like sneaky treat thing to do.
I love that. All right. Well, we're going to move on to some rapid fire Q&A.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
Three things that you're currently loving. Could be a product, show, anything.
Okay. Loving the Summer Fridays lip butter, which of course my teenager turned me on to. Loving that. Loving the Real Real because I'm now consigning my stuff from 10 years ago and clearing out my closet, but then finding new things to wear without impacting the environment. So I feel great about that. And oh my gosh, linen sheets. Linen sheets, Serena and Lily linen sheets, because they just feel good.
Love it. Favorite words to live by?
The Eleanor Roosevelt quote about doing something every day that scares you.
I love that. Oh, so good. Firm believer in it.
Yeah.
Three favorite pantry staples.
Chia seeds. Purely Elizabeth granola, and I'm going to say rolled oats.
What is your number one non-negotiable to thrive on your wellness journey?
Movement. For me, it's movement.
Love it. Getting it in daily.
Getting it in daily. Yes. And I will tell you, okay, so for podcast marketplace, the marketplace, either the morning report or the evening report, because it staying abreast of what's happening in the economy to me is just, it's vital. It's as vital as the regular news.
Great one. All right, Frances. Well, in closing, where can everybody find you and grab your book as well?
Okay, well, they can grab Everyday Snack Tray on Amazon. They can come check out my website, which is franceslargemanroth.com. Or they can follow me on Instagram at Frances L. Roth RD.
Amazing. Frances, thank you so much for being here. It was so great to connect.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This has been a real treat, and I hope to meet you in person someday.
Yes, we'll go to Peloton.
Yes, let's do it. Let's sweat.
All right. Thanks so much for joining me on Live Purely with Elizabeth. I hope you feel inspired to thrive on your wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review. You can follow us on Instagram at purely_Elizabeth to catch up on all the latest. See you next Wednesday on the podcast.